Okay, it's already September 3rd and it's 3:03. We have a quorum and I'd like to bring the Environmental Services Advisory Subcommittee Waste Diversions, Collections and Education to order. So roll call. Margo Garcia.
Here.
Fred Ariza.
Here.
Doug Jennings.
Here.
And Trevor Ledbetter.
Here.
Good to see you here in this meeting. We missed you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. All right. So I gotta hit this. And oh, you know, I just real quick, for item two, the chairperson's result. I don't know how nerdy you guys are, but I always get information from the University of Arizona's tech startup, Tech Launch Arizona. And so there's this really cool thing now that the professor and inventor, Gogi Davidowitz, I don't know if you know him at all.
I worked with him in my undergrad for quite a while, so it's Goggy Davidowitz.
Oh, Gogi. Okay,
Yeah.
so you must know about the 25-foot solar drying tower. Okay.
I
It was
only
new.
know a little bit. I did very different research when I was working with Goggy.
Oh, okay. So anyways, you know, they founded a company that I can't pronounce. It's spelled Kuairu, and they've got investors. And so Gogi, he developed the tower and that was researched through the College of Agriculture, Life and Environmental Services. And so what it's doing is using this solar 25 foot drying for leftover, you know, fruits and vegetables and any kind of produce you can think of. And they just essentially just dehydrate it. And what the mission is to put it into a shelf stable product. And with this solar radiation heating the walls and making it really hot in there and everything, it helps keep bacteria down. And it's essentially a safe for storage. And so they're thinking about using it for animal feed, which would be really great to, you know, keep all that support, what, 40% of the food produced goes into the landfill. So anyhow, Brittany, I had given you the site for that. And maybe when you get time, you could send it to everybody because I really like to learn about stuff like this.
Yes, I'm
Anyhow.
sorry, Chris, that you did, and I will send that out to the
Oh, you know, maybe everybody in ESAC would want to see that too.
Yes, I'll include it in this Friday's packet.
Okay, because I just got it on Monday, so I'm still excited about it.
You know, Chris, I wasn't sure where you were going to go with this story.
Oh, was I all over the place?
Well, in a roundabout way, yeah.
Okay. Well, the inventor, Gogi, he's with the U of A and stuff. So, and they've got investors. I don't know if they're from out of the country or what, but it'd be neat if they just kept, you know, used it. Go down to Nogales and
So the point is that they would dry this material and then feed it to animals? Is that what,
use it for
where we're
animal
going in?
feed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Instead of composting it into soil.
Instead of composting it. Yeah.
It could be a lot shorter time. I mean, meaning that the composting takes what, several months and takes
Right.
a lot of land, and this would be a solar tower, which one would think is certainly in our temperatures would take maybe a day, 24
It's
hours, 36 hours.
all solar, yeah.
So the thing
So
is how not to burn it. That's what I'm wondering. We all know if you put stuff in your oven to dry,
yeah.
it often burns.
Well, if you look at the site and look at the pictures and stuff,
Okay.
it's got shelves that go all the way up, and I'm sure they have I don't know. I don't know
Control over the
the
temperature. I mean, it's
yeah.
control over the temperature if you keep it, I don't know,
Oh, I'm
300
sure.
degrees or
Is
something.
this any kind of food?
Yeah, it would be everything.
Mostly produce.
Oh, produce.
Produce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
not meat, right.
Yeah, it's not like, leftovers from restaurants and stuff. I mean,
Right.
that if you want, you can still compost, but this is primarily produce. And there's a lot of waste with produce, even in our grocery stores and stuff.
The outer leaves and things that they pull off.
They just toss it out. So I just thought that was interesting. Okay, I'll quit talking. Let's move on to item three, the team up to clean up. And
Can we do a roll call?
is that you, Christina?
No, it's Fred. Have you done
What?
roll call?
Yeah.
We did? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. I'm sorry. All right. Is that Christina? Who's doing team up the cleanup?
I asked Steve Lichurko, who's the coordinator and
Oh.
facilitator who upped the program, to do that.
Oh, okay.
Hi,
Hi, Steve.
I'm Steve Lichurko, team up to clean up coordinator. Nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, good to meet you.
This program's was happening out of the city manager's office in a small way. So about 2 years ago, I started working with the individuals doing that, and we took it over. And since then, we've been doing a lot of different work in the community with a lot of different groups. This picture here was taken with a small group of individuals, and that's what typically happens in the morning. We get everybody tooled up with PPE, pickers, and whatnot, and we get them ready. How we do this is, I'm continually going, reaching out to different organizations and whatnot to see if people want to clean within their own neighborhoods. So it really is the community members and volunteers that get together to clean easements, alleyways, around the edges of walkways, whatnot. And we get individuals. Typically, I find somebody that's interested in cleaning up their community space, and they have maybe one or two people. We'll post it onto social media on our Team Up to Clean Up site. And then from there, it's amazing. Tucson has so many individuals that just want to help. And this program is a good example of that, because we get folks that are snowbirds, retirees, folks that live in town that just want to help clean up. And they typically show up, like in this picture here, only two of those people lived in this neighborhood, but the rest were just volunteers willing to help out, clean the area. So what happens is we'll get together, we do a whole safety review and whatnot, and then we go out with pickers and basically gather all the trash into bags, and then we put those bags out, and then I do a work order, and we get them picked up within 2 to 3 days. So it's been a fantastic program that is now kind of blowing up to not only service community members where we're actually doing the program, but we're also supporting others. So if we have the next slide, I'll show you how the numbers are getting bigger. There we go. From July 2023 to July 2024, we had 92 events, about 1,700 participants, about 5,000 hours. This last year, we had 406 events, 4,968 participants, almost 5,000, and 912 hours. So we're really expanding the program. The program now, or organizing cleanups with neighborhoods and the community members. That's why we started. So there's team up events where it's just us doing it. And so those events, people come out and it's myself and whoever, whether it was a neighborhood organization or a church or whatnot, wanted to create that event, and we'll just clean up. But we also have partnerships that we've started doing now. So through the city of Tucson, that the housing department, we help out in the Thrive area. So the O5 Thrive, which is down by Oracle and Grant area, we're helping out in that area. We also have the 29th Thrive, which is out there on 29th Street near Albernon. And so those are two areas where the mayor is dedicated some extra funding. So we're out there doing cleanups once a month in each area with different volunteers from those two specific areas. We also have the Viva areas also. We're helping out with housing. So for example, one example of that area is the Grant and Alvernon area down there by Dodge Flower. We've done already probably six cleanups in the last 2 years there. So that's worked out. We also have groups like the Trashy Divas. There's a group of ladies that are all 60 plus and they all love to clean. So, and it's a great social networking group that they get together, they clean, and then they go have brunch. And they're typically cleaning areas like A Mountain, the frontage roads, anything around the Dunbar neighborhood. Those areas around their neighborhoods where a lot of these ladies live. A lot of schools, we've also, for example, Choya High School, we've already done a couple cleanups with them, as well as Sierra Middle School. I'm really trying to reach out to schools to let them know because you have a lot of kids wanting to do community service, and this is a great way to do it. All the programs usually run about 2 hours, and that's about the attention span of a high schooler around about that time or when someone starts getting tired. So it's a great opportunity for them to come out there. We also do some partnerships with Tucson Clean and Beautiful. For example, when we had Earth Day, a couple of planning days, whatnot, Tucson Clean and Beautiful is a great partner to get together with, and we do a lot of cleanups with them. We did a big one with them in the U of A out there at the U of A Farms. We had over 120 people out there cleaning up with different organizations. We also get together with Old Pueblo Services, Old Pueblo Social Services. They're a fantastic partner. They give folks a daily opportunity to come out and work and give them a daily wage. And these folks work for about 2 hours, and they've been a fantastic partner in helping us take care of a lot of the wildcat dumping that happens all over town. So they have three different crews that are cleaning every day that we're assisting with. And we also do a lot of community support events. So it's not necessarily cleanups, but we're out there tabling events for a lot of neighborhood associations, churches, and schools, and just educating people on the opportunities of team up to clean up and social service on how giving back to your community is an important part of being part of the community. So we're trying to do a lot of those. We're also working off with roll-off requests on top of the regular residential customers that are part of a neighborhood associations, homeowners associations. And that's a typical regular roll-off process. But we're also looking to kind of expand that. The city is short on equipment for some of these roll-offs. So now we're trying to work out where they're able to order one, and we do it in a specific area. Quite often when you get a roll-off, you either have to open up the door and crawl up in there to throw your trash away. And typically the area that gets full is right by the door, and the back end of the roll-off is pretty empty. So now we're looking at maybe creating a safe area where people could just put their stuff in there, just like a roll-off, and then we get it picked up through our brush and bulky team, and they're able, it's a lot safer, it's a lot more efficient, takes less equipment, and folks can just put it into that designated area within that 2 day period. So we're working with the communities in different ways to try to do to offer more services to help them clean their specific spaces. Another thing that we are doing too is we're not always able to go out and do cleanups in terms of myself or my team. So when we get together with some of these organizations that want to clean something, we give them all the tools. So this is a second part of the program that's really blowing up now, in terms of even though we're not there, we give them the tools, all the equipment, all the bags, and then they give me a text message to let me know we finished cleaning such area. We left all the bags on the corner of, let's say, 6th and Irvington, And then I do a work order immediately, and then it gets picked up within 2 to 3 days. So the ES team has been fantastic in supporting these efforts because basically we end up having bags from different organizations in different areas. And ES goes out there and picks it up pretty quickly. So the Russia Bulky crew picks it up, and it's been pretty efficient, and folks are pretty happy with the fact that they don't have to wait on the city now. They can go do the cleanup if they want to do it in the middle of the day on a Tuesday, and then they send me a text message and we get the trash picked up pretty quickly. Next slide.
Steve, could I just ask you a question real quick?
Sure.
Because I'm in the Garden District Neighborhood Association, and we get the dumpsters on a regular basis, but my quadrant was such a mess that, people were stuff was in the street, it was spilling out everywhere. And so you're talking about not using those, but just having an area where people can just dump stuff, not contained.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because most of the time people don't put it inside. They just
Right. That's the other
okay.
thing.
I
Yeah,
just
and that's the part of the roll loss because whether it has a door or you have to crawl up on top of the side of it and throw it over, and it
yeah.
doesn't always make it, and then it ends up being there's a mess in the roll off, and then there's a mess around the roll off, and that's another resource that we have to get someone out there, break it all up and throw it inside, and then pick up the roll off. So we're trying to kind of avoid that double work and also make it more
Okay.
efficient for residents to be able to just gather up their stuff. The important part of that program is that it's timely, right? Just like a roll-off's only there for 2 days. We want to
Yeah.
make this program also timely where, hey, you're only going to have that these 2 days to dump your stuff there. If you don't get it done on those 2 days, you can't come. Let's say that it happens on a Thursday, on a Saturday, Sunday. We
Well,
pick
we
it up
usually get
Monday
them on
morning.
Fridays.
Yes, you'll get it on a
Yeah.
Friday and we pick it
Saturday.
up Monday.
Yeah.
It'll be the same kind of thing. So you can't come and dump your stuff there Monday afternoon and think, oh, someone's going to come and get it. We want to kind of avoid that, make it timely where, hey, we drop it off, we pick it up. Because if you leave it out there too long, then people think it's a dump site and other people outside the neighborhood start dumping there. So we want to avoid that as well. So, and that program is in its infancy. We're getting the kinks worked out on how to do that efficiently as well
Okay.
as safely.
Yeah, because my quadrant, I just said no to a roll off. Well, go to the other three quadrants just because mine was the one that got trashed, and it was
Sure,
at the
sure.
Mason's place. And I think it's just because I'm close to Speedway and Alvernon, so.
And that's one of the kind of things we hear where it's close to a major street and people see it and then they start dumping just wildcat dumping there thinking, oh, I could dump stuff here. We really want to avoid that kind of thing. So it allows us to maybe pick an area that's a little bit more interior of the neighborhood and then folks know on this weekend we can come dump our stuff.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, and just this last picture just shows a typical group of folks. A lot of these cleanups we typically have five, six people. But we do pretty efficient work. You'll notice the bags that they're holding. This year we started using the brewery bags. So we have nine different breweries now involved where instead of throwing these bags in the garbage, that's what they were doing. And so these bags hold the grain that where they start making beer. And they were just throwing them in the trash. When I started this job, I looked around at different organizations doing this work already throughout the country. And a group from Seattle gave me the suggestion that they said their biggest supporters are the breweries. And I'm trying to figure out in my head, how's a brewery supporting neighborhood cleanups? And the lady said, well, they give us the bags. And so I hooked up with six different breweries here in town. We just picked up two more this last month. And they started giving us the bags. And believe it or not, these bags are a lot more efficient. They're really tough. They're like dog food bags. So they don't poke through. They're pretty light. And it gets away from using these. We were using the big bags from the parks, the 65-gallon. And the problem with that is they get too heavy. They're easily, anything sharp pokes through it pretty quickly. And then folks only fill it up a quarter or a half. And then you start throwing away these bags that are quarter full into the landfill, which is a lot of thick plastic. This alternative is these bags were going to the trash anyways, so we're recycling and reusing and repurposing them. And
Good.
also, it's a lot cheaper because they're free. So we just pick them up from the brewery every week and we're handing them out. Just this already, we've already used, just in the last 2 months, we've already used almost 1,000 bags just with Old Pueblo Community Services. And it's a lot easier for them as well. And we get them by the bulks and we're just handing them out quickly. So I'm also handing those out to communities, even though we don't argue, even though we're not involved with the event. If they're doing one on their own, I drop off bags at the ward offices, like in stacks of 50, and then the ward office calls me when they need more bags. Questions?
Are you the contact person for
Yes,
that,
ma'am.
or okay?
Yes, ma'am.
So can we get the email or the where
Oh, I
best?
didn't put that on. That I did not put that. So it'll be the same city email. It'll be Stephen.Laturco,
Is it
LAT.
Stephen with a PH or a V?
A V. Steven dot
And
Laturco, LATURCO at
okay.
TucsonAZ.gov.
Okay.
I'll add it in the chat.
Thank you.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, and the biggest thing I try to tell folks is we if you have an area where you want to clean, I like to get together with you to, so we could pick out some realistic goals first. And so we could pick out some realistic goals, pick a spot of where we're going to meet, and then I need at least 3 to 4 weeks so I could post it so people could see it online. We're part of the mayor's web page, which is the climate action web page that she has.
Climate action, yeah.
Yeah, so we're a part of that. It says team up to clean up. If you go on to the team up to clean up portion of that web page, you'll see a list of things that we're doing that we organize, and you'll also see a list of community events where people could volunteer, where I might not be there organizing, but they're supported by us at that point.
It's very impressive what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that number must be wrong that you add up of 912 point something or other
It's
for the amount they
absolute.
collected up. There, you're somehow there's something wrong with that number, because for the number of people you have to collect more than you did the previous year with fewer people. So check
Yeah,
out your numbers.
I think the previous year we were using the big bags. So the numbers kind of thrown off because the previous year we were using the 65-gallon bags,
No, but
and now that we're
Steve,
using the smaller bags.
on your hours, participation hours.
Oh, got it. Got it. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Oh, let me find that out. Yeah, because that should be more.
You guys have been
Anyway.
sniffing your bags too much.
Yeah. Absolutely. Other questions?
How much would you say you guys collect on one event? Is it a roll-off full, a half a roll-off, two
So,
roll-offs?
the picture of those four, the what was that? One, two, three, four, five. There was five folks and myself, six. We collected 43 bags on
On that
that event.
morning?
Yeah, in the morning, 2 hours.
Couple hours? That's great. What a great program.
Yeah, 43 bags.
Good
Or,
information. Thank you very much.
yeah, thank you. Or we
So,
collect carts. You know, sometimes it's tires, sometimes they're carts, and then there's other bags that we
right.
collect.
What do you mostly pick up? Like just mostly papers or bags or?
Most of it's old trash. And when I say that is a lot of these, some of these areas we've gone back to clean and it stays clean because we picked up all the old trash that has probably been there for years. And then the area is maintained better. What I'm also finding is folks tend to take care of a space better when they see it clean versus when they see trash, they don't tend to take care of it or be mindful of it.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah. I will say if we could find a way to get rid of the Circle K cups, that would help the city so much because that's one thing that I find. And some of our cleanups are in the Santa Cruz River that have some of the inlets that flood from the city streets. And Circle K cups are the majority of things that we see floating around there, unfortunately.
They'll start charging for them. That's what they do in other places. They're charging 25 to 50 cents for a cup.
Oh, I wish we could do that. That would help.
And then that encourages you to get your own cup and bring it in, and then there's no charge. So
I
I
have
have to.
love that. I would love to help with that committee to have that happen.
Thank you. And
I
nice to
got.
meet you.
I
Yeah.
do want to
Thank you,
tell
Stephen.
you, I
Yeah.
do want to tell you that Steve's had a lot of groups reach out to him, and one was the U of A athletic department.
All
We
right.
had a bunch of the student athletes reach out and joined in on a cleanup, and they want to do it, what, twice a year?
Yes.
And he was interviewed once, and at the time he had a cleanup coming up, and there were so it was on Facebook, and all these people were complaining, like, the city shouldn't be asking people to volunteer, and that's this
Oh.
job, city's job, blah blah blah. And it was really funny because at the time he did the interview, he had like 36 people signed up for that cleanup. But the night before the cleanup, he had 100 people signed up.
Yeah.
Just goes to show you the people on Facebook are the whiners and the complainers.
Yep.
But
Yeah, it's surprising the number of people that show up to these things.
good.
Great.
Good news.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Please contact me if you ever have questions.
Good. Okay, let's move on to item four. U of A waste diversion update. Is that you, Trevor?
It is indeed.
Okay.
Okay. I'll throw some numbers at y'all. We'll do some bottom line up top two and say that this was our worst year for diversion over the last three. Looking at our numbers this year, we diverted about 2,000 pounds of food to the campus pantry. We were up on weights for, so as a reminder, we work with suburban miners and they are stationed in most of the dorms to take anything that can still be reused and have a second life. And weights were up this year as compared to last year. But what really got us on the diversion percentage was trash was also up considerably. So we had about 44,000 pounds of material that Suburban Miners was able to pick up between the months of May and June. And then our trash weight ended up being about 225,000 pounds. And that was up from last year. It was just shy of 195,000 pounds. So 30,000 pound increase in trash. So last year's diversion rate was 19%, and this year was 17%. And back in 2023, the diversion rate was 28%. So students continue to throw more stuff away year over year. Whether it's doesn't seem to be a volume thing, could be a weight thing, or it's kind of both, but it's where we're at this year.
So, what are they throwing away?
Everything they used to and more. From what I've seen and what I've been told, it's kind of everything that we are used to seeing. It's a lot of the really cheap stuff you get from Target, and your parents don't want you to bring it home at the end of the year. There's a lot more furniture, so like cheap furniture that you can also get through
Oh.
Target or wherever. So like a really cheap
Yeah.
futon, IKEA, that sort of stuff that doesn't really, it just doesn't last. And it's a lot of that furniture that once you assemble it, like disassembling it is easier said than done, when it's made out of particle board. So
Sledgehammer.
that'll disassemble it pretty quickly, but you certainly won't get it reassembled after that.
So I guess what I'm trying to understand is, do people feel it's not worthwhile what they have that they're throwing that nobody else would want it? Is that they're not seeing it as what they want and therefore nobody else wants it? Or I guess Oh, you say people can't come and stand there. I would love to interview the people who are throwing stuff away and ask them why they're throwing
Yeah.
away.
One thing, good and bad, double-edged sword with many things. One thing that may test one of my long-standing hypotheses that I've shared in years past, may come to pass this year, that being that we do have a large number of wealthier out of state, both domestic and international students who either aren't able to or don't have the financial need to keep some of these things when they move out of the dorms. It's out in the news. The U of A sent communication to a lot of our off-campus housing partners that they should prepare for about a 20% decline in first year students for the university. We don't know what the actual number is yet. We don't do our fall census for a few more weeks, I don't think, and that's when we'll have a better idea of what enrollment trends look like for this year. But housing, I have heard that housing is down considerably this year. They are not filling all of their beds. And so a lot of that is international students for the University of Arizona, but it is also the realities of what has been called the demographic cliff, sort of
Right.
finally getting here, where there are just fewer college-age students to vie for. And when we have ASU to the north, they are a little bit more attractive than the University of Arizona. So we have seen a decline in enrollment, and that's a good chunk of international students who fit into that demographic of wealthier, able to come to the university and may not be taking their stuff. And probably some out-of-state students as well, who again fit into that demographic. So we may be able to test that hypothesis come this fall if we see our diversion numbers go up. One of the problems will definitely be that demographic of wealthier students who don't need to or don't care to hold on to their things when they move out.
But I know that in some cases that's also clothes and other things, and it seems to me that that's a kind of attitude. Well, I don't want it, so nobody wants it. Not having a great deal of empathy for people at other, well, it's kind of what you're saying, economic levels. I mean, I'll never forget I was in a living in a condominium in a building in Richmond, Virginia, and someone had put in the trash, a stack, this high of absolutely beautifully folded brand new t-shirts. I guess they'd gone and got, well, they weren't brand new, but they were used, but they were in absolutely wonderful shape. I guess they'd gotten a whole new set, so they just took what was in their drawer, threw it in the top of the garbage and took off, and I was just astonished. But anyway. That sort of forms my attitude that there are people who, and I know some others around here at this time of who go and buy one of every color, and then in order to have room in your place, you have to dump what else you have. So I don't know. That's why I'm saying I would love to just interview people. I don't know if I can sneak in for a week or a few hours and just ask people during that time.
Hey Trevor, are other schools having the same kind of problem with as far as wealthier students showing up, we're going to school there to their schools, and is that something that's the norm now, or is that a new trend?
The University of Arizona has, now to our detriment, prioritized out-of-state students as a revenue opportunity, because most out-of-state students, whether they're domestic or international, are willing and able to pay closer to our full tuition rate, and that's part of what got us into the financial challenges that we just finished digging out of. where we were doing a lot of discounting for both in-state and out-of-state students, and that kept, the amount of revenue the university was actually bringing in for students pretty flat over a number of years. But when we look at higher education, 17% is not great, but we are kind of middle of the pack in terms of we are actually doing something. We actually have a diversion rate. A lot of schools will do what we had to do during COVID. They'll just put out roll-offs because it's a lot easier to just say, throw your stuff away. It's the easiest, cheapest way to get stuff off campus and get students moved out. And so they'll have diversion rates of zero or, single digits at best. But there are schools, Michigan State comes to mind. Margo, you had sent me one or two a few years ago. There are some schools, not as big as us, but there are some schools that do a much better job at move out and have a much larger production, sort of equivalent to move in for us, where they're helping students move out, but they're also putting in place systems that help to divert as much material as possible. And so we're sort of middle of the pack. There aren't a whole lot of really clear examples of really large institutions with more than 5,000 students on campus really doing a successful move out because it is just such a logistical and financial undertaking to do in such a short period of time.
I remember when there used to ha be a store that you could go to, the U of A would set up. I'm trying to think of where that was back in the day, where I mean they'd save all the plant the little refrigerators and filing cabinets, all that stuff, and people from Tucson could just go in there and shop at a discount. So
And we do still have the U of A surplus storefront, and
That okay, that's what it is.
that does still exist. And there were a few years back in 2016 and 17, maybe also 18, where we did do a much more hands-on move out a program where we had people stationed, we cleaned things, and then we worked with surplus to resell to the Tucson community. But that was just financially, but also from a human capital perspective, way too much work to really make feasible long term.
I just wanted to speak a minute to the thing about the declining enrollment. What I've just seen recently is that with my goddaughter going off to college as the first year, it's really interesting that the not how people are choosing where they're going to go. So your hierarchy and the overall level of institutions becomes really critical because most people apply for 5 to 10 different schools. And if you get accepted at five, you're going to take the highest ranked university. So unfortunately, Arizona has been sinking to some degree in their overall ranking nationally. And that also has put a kind of a kibosh on more people coming, because if you can get into a higher ranked place, you would go there. And you had the money to do it. Yeah, that's always there.
Is there anything else, Trevor, you'd like to add?
No, not at this point.
Okay. All
Are you getting
righty.
ready for next year?
We haven't even started talking about next year's move out. If those conversations have happened, then I wasn't here for them. So I'll find out.
So the move in is primarily an issue of cardboard boxes, right?
Yeah, and we have recycling set up for cardboard boxes. I think that's really the only thing we'll recycle. Styrofoam is another big thing we'll see at move-in, but we don't really have an effective way of managing that other than dumpsters collection. And then ultimately, the recycling of that is just still so difficult to do at scale on campus.
Okay. It's orange bags.
Yeah, I was going to say giant hefty bags. Okay, then we need to move on. Let's go to item five for the deputy director's report. Hi, Pat.
Chris?
Hey, hello. We're going to actually, Frank needs to step out, so we're going to let him go next.
Oh, okay. You said Frank?
Yes, Frank.
Frank?
Yeah, I'm getting
Okay.
started.
All right.
All right. Brenda, will you allow me to share my screen?
Sure, let me make you a co-host. All right, you should be able to accept that.
Oh, looking
Can
like
all see this? Is it big enough?
yeah.
Okay. So our first topic is on bifusion construction. Last meeting, I gave an update of where construction was, at what stage they were. If you remember, all you could see were maybe a few of the beams, the structural beams that were up. So as you can see, the progress is actually going quite faster than it was at the beginning. Where now we actually are seeing some of the exterior walls coming up here, and this would be facing north. So this here is the south wall of this building. So just a few updates. The building is expected to be completed this fall. So one feedback that I received was within the next month, the building should be completed. We still have, I'm not quite sure, I'm not quite confident that that's going to happen within a month, but I'm hopeful and hopefully it will. We still have the water lines that haven't been put in yet. And so that would be from Tucson Water Main up to the building. And the electric lines are not anything. So the building might be finished, but we may still be waiting for the utility services to be connected. Other than that, we also heard from Bifusion, and they're expecting that if the building does go up this fast, they should be able to have a tenant improvements completed by around January or February of 2026, which means that they would be able to move in quickly as soon as we receive the notice of what is it called, the occupancy, so that they can actually start using the facility. And that's all I have on Bifusion. If you have any questions, I can move on to landfill operations.
Well, how long does it usually take for them to get, from the start to when they actually everything's kicking in and they got all the webs cleaned off and they're up to full speed? Any kind of indication at that when that's going to take place?
Once for the completion of the building or for Bifusion to move in?
Once Bifusion gets in there and they figure everything out, those things usually take a while because they figured, oh, we didn't do this, or maybe we should do this and tweak this, and then they finally start getting their production going and they're at full speed. Is that
So I definitely could not answer that. I think that should be a question for Bifusion, but they do have a facility in California, and so they probably went through a lot of those tweaking of the facility to get that one going. So this one is probably going to be go a lot smoother, I imagine, because they already had to troubleshoot a lot of their issues that probably came up. So at this point, all we know, maybe at that point, we could invite Heidi to come out and give a little presentation of when they would be expected to be gone. So that could be something for a future agenda.
Good. Okay.
Okay. So the next item I wanted to speak on was our last little operations. Primarily on new equipment, because I do want to share with everyone some equipment that we've been receiving. And so I think I still have shared ones here. So let me first show this one. You might not even see this one.
Those are new dump trucks.
Yeah. So
I'm
these
from my
are
neighborhood.
the little Kubotas, the two of them that we purchased, and those are going to be used in our commercial and our residential line in our working film, our working area. And the reason we want to try these out is because our spotters, when they have to be going back and forth on the lines, this would get them there faster to be able to work with the residents that come in on the residential line and then also on the commercial line so that we can get everyone situated and unloaded quickly. So with these little units, they'll be able to go back and forth. We actually haven't put them in place yet because we're waiting to put emergency lights on so that they can easily be spotted by the residents and the commercial trucks that come in, our customers. But these, and then they have that little cab in the back that if we find any materials, for example, hazardous materials or tires or anything that's not allowed in the landfill, they could quickly put it in here so that we can then transport it down to the appropriate locations.
Who makes these?
They're Kubotas, Kubota.
Frank, I have a question for you. Just Pat.
Yeah.
The tires, are we getting them foam filled or are they already?
On these here?
Yes.
Good question. I'm not quite sure, but I'm going to definitely follow up on that.
Yeah, can you ask Justin to actually get the price on that? Because you're probably going to be, if they're going to be getting that close to the face and driving up, and chances are they're going to catch some nails or puncture those wheels, and they're going to be fixing flats all the time.
Right.
Probably just pick it up and change the tire.
Pick it up one hand and then throw the tire in it. They're not that small.
Yep. He's a kickstand.
Yeah.
Think they look fun.
So
Okay.
then, yeah, that's one. The
Is
next
that a
one is a D9. This one already came in too, and it's already working out there. It, every about 3 years, we do a rebuild on these, and then another 2.5 to 3 years. It's roughly not necessarily 9 years. We go by hours. So when they have around 7,500 hours, that's when we start doing rebuilds and then purchasing and replacing it with new equipment. So this is a new one that we just purchased and replaced it with, for one of the old ones from.
Hey Frank, you want to share the price of a new one and then the price of a rebuild?
Yeah. Yeah. So this one cost us about once I think it was 1 point. This was a 1.4 million. And the reason it was 1.4 is because we actually did a trade-in, the old unit. But without a trade-in, they're roughly around 1.5, $1.6 million.
Oh. And then how much does it cost to rebuild?
The rebuild is much less than that. It's around half of that,
Okay.
about 700 to 800,000.
Okay.
Sure.
Margo, you were muted if you said something.
I asked what collapses first? When you rebuild, is it the motor? Is it the treads? Is it the front part?
Transmission.
That's a hard question to answer, but throughout the line, as we keep them, what we do is we have them under TM&R, which is total maintenance and repair contracts, which means that we're paying as we go along for if there's any major or catastrophic failure on the machine, whether it's the tracks or if it's an engine. Or if it's in transmission, then it gets covered. On dozers, we don't see a lot of issues with transmissions. We might see issues with heating up. So the engine, a lot of times we have problems with the engine. And just because, especially during the summer months, and that's when we see the most failures on our equipment. And so I would say in that respect, probably the engines are the ones that are mostly affected. And then we know for sure that the tracks, those are going to have to be replaced regardless, because we know that within a 3-year period, they have to be changed. There's almost no question about that. So this one that you see now on the screen is an excavator. It's a 325. Last year we bought a 352, which is our larger excavator. This one is a little bit smaller for some of our other support work that we have to do around the landfill. But what we did with this one is that we bought, you see here, it's a tire shear. And what that will help us with is when people drop off tires that still have the rim on them, we're able to cut the tires so that we can separate the metal from the actual tire. If the recycler chrome rubber modifying, they charge us extra fees when we turn in tires that still are intact with the rim. Our approach with this one is that over a long term, it's basically going to pay for itself in the savings of all those fees. So every time that we have to do a delivery of tires, we get a $75 additional fee. With this case, we'll be saving that $75, basically going back into the purchase of this of the what we call it, what is called the tire shield. You can see in the back that there's one a tire that was already cut. So then it's also going to increase our metal recycling, because that metal, those rims are going to go into our metal piles. So we're looking at this into getting a little more efficient with our operation with our tires. A lot of tires.
Does it cut the metal as well, or does it pull the tire off and cut it? I don't.
Well, it could cut the metal, but we don't want to do that because it'll affect the shear. We're basically just trying to cut the tire, the rubber off of it.
Okay.
How many tires do you guys normally see in, say, a month?
Good question. I don't think we've ever counted each tire. So that's something I'll get back to you and see, maybe we can estimate and see how
I mean,
many.
is it like a pickup truck load, a roll-off load?
No. We get roll-offs. Once a week, we ship out about two or three roll-offs filled with tires.
Two or three roll-offs a week.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a lot of tires. Good thing you got a new machine, huh?
And so you can see that those added fees over time add up. So,
Wow.
let me see. I'll stop sharing this one and then we'll get the other one.
Now, Frank, I have a question. Did you say that you get two or three roll-offs a week of tires, full of tires? Is that the metal from the tires or the rubber from the tires?
It's the rubber tires.
Okay.
And of course, prior to this unit, It was tires that didn't have rims in it, tires that were intact. And then just basically all sorts of all sizes and types from regular vehicle. And then every once in a while, we get some larger tires that are dropped off. And sometimes they get by us. We don't necessarily advertise everywhere except, for example, tractor tires or large semi truck tires. But they end up here and we have to match them. This is a 9:30. It actually hasn't come in. It's en route, but it'll be here shortly. So I just wanted to share because we did buy one of these last year too. And so this one we're going to be using it in our compost area. So it's going to be strictly dedicated for our composting because they use this one to move the feedstock and to also build the windrows as we move forward. As we move along with the composting process.
Hey Frank, I just want to add on that so it's not a sticker shock for everybody kind of looking at this equipment because it is expensive. What's the life also of these? I mean, I know it's always by hours, but if you can give them an indicator, I mean, it's not like we replace these every 2 or 3 or 4 years.
No. So the support equipment, which we call, for example, the excavator that I showed you previously and the 930, these have a much longer life. So we might even keep them anywhere from 10 years, 8 to 10 years, sometimes even longer, depending, how much wear we put on them. But as support equipment, because they're not constantly working with like the dozer and the compactors, because those are running pretty much every day from the time it opens to the time it closes. Our support equipment, we use it as we need it. And so sometimes it'll be sitting there, but anywhere between 8 and 10 years. And so we don't have to be replacing these as often as we would the more expensive ones. If it was the other way around, saving a lot more, of course, the compactors and the dozers are the ones that I use day in and day out from Monday through Saturday.
Cool. Thanks. Is that it, Frank, or you got?
I've got a couple more, and
Okay.
so I do want to share this here. Aside from just the heavy equipment, we also purchased this tarpomatic, which is basically deploys our tarps at the end of the day once we're done for the day, so that we can cover the trash for the next day. And so this unit will basically just deploys the tarps, and we use our dozers to be able to do that. This is a new unit, and it's basically just going to be used by the operator. The older units that we had, we needed to have the operator, and then we also needed two spotters, one on each end, so that they can actually attach it to the equipment and be able to deploy it. This one, the dozer would just come up. You can see up here, it'll attach to the blade, and then it starts deploying. And it works off of a remote control, so the operator will be able to start the engine and then start rolling the tarp out.
I mean, one big part, these are really beneficial. Sorry, Frank, but it helps you from saving or putting soil every night because every night you have to cover this so that debris isn't blowing all over. And this really saves a lot of usage on soil.
They're using the same tarp over and over again?
Yes.
Okay.
So the only reasons why sometimes we end up losing a tarp is if we end up having a fire on the fill area, and then usually that's catastrophic loss for that tarp. But other than that, or if it gets ends up getting torn, sometimes the tears can actually be repaired, where the tarps are actually sewn back together. But if we don't have any of those catastrophic losses, then we keep using the tarp over and over again.
How long do they last?
So they last us for years.
Oh, you said, oh yeah, you said 8 to 10 years, right?
Well, not the actual tarps, the heavy equipment, it didn't last that long. I
Okay.
would say the tarps could last about 4 years. So over time, they do definitely, because of the sun beating on them, they will get damaged and deteriorate so that we'd have to replace them. This next one is our portable fences that we are able to move around. So this helps us a lot with our litter, our debris, especially when we have the windy days. And see, I think the last one I will show. This one. So we also purchased this, we call this a command post, but as you can see, it's just a platform and it's elevated, and of course it's covered. But we're using it down in our fill area so that our spotters are elevated and they can actually see a little bit further down and be able to know where to place vehicles as they come in. It also helps keep the sun away from them because, of course, we don't really have any other shade out here. One of our plans too is to put in a little solar fan with misters so that it could also help with the heat, especially in some months. Okay, so that's everything that I have on landfill operations.
Thanks. That was a
Thanks,
lot of
Frank.
information
Thanks, Frank. It was
that
good.
I don't have to pay for those vehicles.
Yeah, sorry, Chris. The invoices are going to you.
That's for sure.
We forgot to mention that Frank is payroll deduction.
Payroll.
Going to take a lot of years to pay that.
That's too much loyalty. All right. Well, thanks again.
No problem.
And so now we'll go back to Pat. Item five.
Thank you. Hey, just a
Sure.
real quick kudos for Frank and the group out there. I tell you, the way they're doing on the landfill, their operation and the cost, but we're doing this cost of service study, which I know Carlos is going to probably talk to you guys a little bit more about that next week on the MRF and the cost of the service study. So I'm not really cover those, but they've done such a great job at the landfill keeping their costs down. And it's kind of nice to be able to get them some of this newer equipment now and start budgeting for those things. So they're doing a really good job. And we have probably one of the lowest gate rates in Arizona when you're looking around as far as maintaining and operating the landfill. So they're doing a good job, didn't you? So I appreciate everything they do out there.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm going to have two items. I'm looking at the list here. We have a lot still on the agenda to go. So I'm going to cover real quick ones. Uniforms. Every year we look at uniforms and we kind of say what we can and can't provide. We're going to go through a pretty big change, which we started about 4 or 5 years ago, was going to high visibility shirts. And the big purpose of doing this is that, unfortunately, in our industry, we've dropped from seventh to now the fourth most dangerous job in the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is really going in the wrong direction. So we really, 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 really stress safety, which we need to do. But also, get our employees in these high-vis shirts. And I know there was a concern that there's some glare off of them that, but the glare you get early morning. It was only a few months out of the year that we really have it pretty dark in the morning when we start. Most of the time we're out before it gets dark in the afternoon, so or in the evening. So that kind of works out. But we're going to get a little bit of kickback on that. I know from some of the employees, because what we started about 5 years ago was if you're a new employee, you automatically get the high-vis shirts. Through attrition, we were going to eventually get to that point. Well, we're over the 50% mark as far as how many employees are already wearing high-vis. So this year, we're just going to say, okay, we're just going to do it across the board. Everybody that orders a uniform this year that works in the field is going to be wearing high-visibility shirts. So I know there's going to be a little bit of resistance on that, but some of these tough decisions we're just going to have to make because, I mean, we need to get that safety going the right direction. The other thing is that we've been getting a little bit of concerns are that have popped up, and it's been an ongoing thing, is the vegetation letter. That's a letter that goes out to our residents that have alley service that need to have the vegetation trimmed back. We've always sent the letter to the whole alley. So it might be one resident, maybe two residents that maybe have trees that are overhanging into the alley that are causing damages to our trucks to provide service. So we have, instead of going out there and pinpoint it, because sometimes it was difficult, we would just blanket the whole alley and just say, here's a message. Your alley might be okay where you're at, but somewhere in the alley might be a problem. So if it's not yours, disregard it. We've tried to really soften up as much as possible, but it still seems to offend a lot of people when it gets to them. They really take offense to it, thinking that we're pinpointing their house, even to where I've had some discussions that the resident thinks that's actually their alley that we sent a picture of. And that's not, that's just a dedicated photo that we use for all of them. So we're working on that, looking at it. How can we change it and lighten it up a little bit? So just wanted to give you all aware of that. I'd be happy to send you guys a letter. Maybe I could have Brittany send that to all of you. I have some other neighborhood association presidents and ex-presidents that are going to take a stab at it as well and see if they can do some changes on it. So I just wanted to share that in case you hear about it.
And you did a video about those alley cleanups and everything. What was that, a few years back? So,
Yeah, I can't remember how
yeah.
what the video looks. Christina probably knows a little bit more on that.
Yeah.
With Google Earth, aren't you it wouldn't you be able to personalize it at least to their alley picture?
Yeah, I mean that's where it is. I mean, there's some things we need to look at. Is there a way to make that easier and pinpoint it to an exact household? We're going to talk about that
Well,
instead of sending it to everyone.
yeah, I mean it certainly the one household would be it would be best, but it could be that. Well, I don't know. Anyway, send us the letter and we can play
Unfortunately,
with it. They
when you
get
look at an
dumped.
alley,
My son's in the alley behind his house. He just had people dump stuff.
oh, they'll
But
leave a body behind.
he had to clean it up.
Yeah, that happens. It
Yeah.
does. It happens quite a bit in the alleys, and
Yeah, it
that's a
does.
concern. And we can never pinpoint who did it. What
No.
about putting a sign on the garbage on the cans themselves, the containers, as you drive through the alley and said, do you need to clean up your side? Just stick it right on the can or the container.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we could look at and see on it. I wish everybody would read everything that we put out there. That's the challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, we put no
These big
mattress stuff
letters.
in our front in our containers, and lo and behold, there's a mattress laying up against it, you know.
We've
So
mailed things and people don't even read their
they
mail.
don't know. I know that's
yeah,
really
if you put a sign on there, maybe that'll help.
and
Just
renters, orange sign,
you know what?
new
Just
renters in and out there. It's
I
always a
think all
problem.
suggestions are out there, to be honest with you. I mean, I
Yeah.
think it's not going to be one. I think one silver bullet that cures this whole thing. I don't think it's going to be a lot of them. And I think that's just another one. Yeah. How do we put a message on a can so everyone knows that?
And like in my neighborhood, there's a lot of retired people here, and so some of them aren't able to clean up their alley themselves. And maybe we can offer some sort of service to help clean up around them. Maybe that'll help.
And a lot of that isn't even just the illegal dumping. A lot of those notices are going out for the vegetation that's overgrowing and hanging in the alleys, because you get a lot of stuff that we're
Well,
just wanting to trim them back, is what most of the letter's about.
I think we also have the problem too. So we have two big washes in our, no, at least one big wash in our neighborhood, and on both sides of the wash, it's not the alleyways where the people reside. It's the wash that's itself that's so overgrown that it makes it difficult for your trucks to get through, because and they have no recourse as far as trimming up something that's in the wash, because they don't have the ability to do that. And I think the city itself should be looking at cleaning up some of those washes, because I know those things are pretty narrow, and the part that's going over the into the alleyways is in the from the wash itself.
And if we get those we need to turn over to transportation.
Transportation. Yeah.
Transportation is responsible for all the washes.
Right.
Well, I just want to share those. I know we still got a big
Thanks.
list to go through. So that's all I have for today. I know Cross will be covering a lot as far as the MRF and the cost of service study next week.
Okay. Thanks, Pat.
Sure.
Something that I wanted to add on Alfred. I know that I'm not sure where you exactly live, but some of these alley, I mean, some of these washes are protected. So we can't do any kind of work because they are protected and we can't do any kind of work. So what we've been doing is converting them that, go from the from alley to service because of that. So I'm not sure if that wash that's behind your house, if it's protected or not. Think you're muted.
I don't have one behind my house, but we do have a big one big wash that goes through there, and I can't remember which one it is. And I think it Rose Hill. It might be Rose Hill. Anyway, that's and that and I've noticed that there's a lot of brush overhanging into the alley itself. So
Okay.
I don't know if Rose Hill is protected or not.
Yeah, it's something that I would have to look. I know that the city of Tucson has a map, and it shows us all these washes that are protected, and we can't do any kind of trimming.
Right.
Right. Okay. Well, Jose, you're up.
How's everybody doing?
Item six.
Okay. I'll go through it as quick as I can. The electric vehicle, still down. We're waiting for parts for it. I think the last time we spoke, we had the tablet, basically that tablet. I'm not sure if I explained it to you guys the last time, but the tablet, that's like the brain. That's what shows the tachometer, that shows the fuel gauge, the oil gauge, the air gauge. So that's what's out on it. And then also with that comes along with the data link cable that has to be replaced. I did talk to Fleet Services. They were going to check up on it today to see when, they were going to actually get those parts in, so that way they can have that, so they can start working on that vehicle. So it is still down. We're just waiting for parts.
For the transmission as well, or
No, actually, it's just that it's going to be the tablet.
just oh, okay.
Yeah, just a tablet. Well, we call it the tablet. If you look at it, it's like if you're looking at a tablet, you're sitting in a vehicle and you're looking at a tablet. A tablet has all the digital stuff on there that we work off of.
Oh,
Or
okay.
that's what the guys are looking at.
All right.
Then the second thing was the collection changes in 2026. One of the things that we were looking over the this year is how do we balance out the work week, for our residential side. So what's happening, and just give you a quick example, on Mondays, we might be running, just I'm just throwing numbers out there, 40, 40 vehicles on Mondays, and then on Tuesday we might be running 50 vehicles. So what we're trying to do is balance out that work week. It works for us that way. Fleet Services, when they're fixing our vehicles, they have a set number. But being that Tucson is growing so big this year, it's growing out east and a little bit of west, we're trying to figure out, okay, how do we balance out the week, so we can have even routes throughout the whole week. We couldn't do that many changes when it comes to residential site. We did find an area that that's going to affect, what is it, 2,250 residents that are going to be moved from A week to B week. That's going to be south of Golf Links, north of Irvington, west of Harrison, and east of Camino Seco. We are preparing all the notifications so we can start sending out to the residents, and and letting them know that this change is going to be happening for next year. Hopefully we can get that, as soon as the year starts. Once the notifications are out, they're going to get back-to-back service, and we're going to start that in January. So that's going to be happening here pretty soon. Another big change that's going to happen for next year is going to be the brush and bulky. When we send out the letter, it's going to be all the if you have alley service, everything's going has to be out in the out on the curb. So that's
Okay.
one thing that we're going to do differently this year.
That's next year, right?
Yes, next year, 2026. Yes. Yeah, hopefully everybody reads their mail so that way they're informed. We already know that it's not going to happen. I see Doug shaking his head, but we already know that it's not going to happen. You know, we're probably the first cycle, the first go around. We're going to have to go,
That's where
do the
12% of the
curve and then
fever
go the
comes
other.
in at the MRF is from the mailers.
Yes.
When you say the curb, you mean like on the street itself or just off to the side?
Out in front of their homes.
Yeah,
Um,
easement.
yeah, it's going to be out on the curb.
So, well, that's a lot safer than going in the alleyways with all the utilities
It
and
is, especially
so
when you
I
got
think that's
residential.
much better.
Yeah, especially when you got residential. You know, sometimes people bring out so much stuff that, if that alley was 18 feet, now it's 9 feet just because of so much stuff that's out there in the alley. So it is going to be a lot safer. You know, where you know, stay away from the utilities, like you were saying, stay away from the utilities. People, once again, we go back to reading the flyers. You know, they're still putting the brush and bulky on top of gas meters, the water meters, and all that good stuff. So the good thing is that we're going out there to these neighborhood associations and reminding them and let the residents know that not to be placing their items on the utilities.
Yeah, my sister has her stuff collected on the streets as well.
Oh, there's okay.
Mine
Yeah,
So it
I
makes it easier
street.
for people who want to pick up stuff, just drive by and pick it up.
And we do know, there's going to be some areas where we cannot service, out on the curb, and we're going to have to identify those and let the people know that, that there's still going to be service in the alley. So we got to do our homework by looking for all the, for these the curb service, making sure that that if they can't service in the curb, it's going to still stay in the alley.
What are you doing about the streets that are getting fixed? I mean, like Fifth and Sixth, the Fifth Street, is being moved over to one side and the other. I mean, what is the garbage truck doing when it's supposed to pick up things which are closed off because of construction?
So at the beginning of the year, we were having a lot of issues with, especially on Fifth and Sixth Street, like you were saying, Margo. We were having a lot of issues because we weren't notified. So construction starts, and then they're notifying us and letting us know, hey, when are you guys going to service our garbage? It's been sitting out there. So we contact the construction, and what they're doing for us right now on Sixth and Fifth Street, they're actually rolling out the containers closer. So if the construction, we're just going to say, is on the west side, they'll bring the containers out to where the garbage truck is servicing closer to on the other side of the street. So we're working with them now. With DTM, they're notifying us, they're letting us know. So that's not the only area. I mean, they're doing so much construction all over Tucson, especially with the bike lanes. They're adding new bike lanes, they're adding roundabouts and all that good stuff. So we're getting that information, and we're working along with DTM, so we won't have any issues servicing the garbage or the recycling.
That's good because it certainly looks funny to see a garbage can sitting out there, out in the middle of the street.
And that's probably what happens. Working like in Fifth and Sixth, we got the construction guys, because they notified us so late. So what they do is the residents are bringing out their containers, the same construction guys are bringing the containers out to closer to the street where it's drivable.
Okay.
Oh, good.
Let me see, Ellie dashboard. I'm gonna share my screen. Let me see if
All right, let me make you a co-host.
okay.
You'll just need to confirm it.
Before I jump into that, on the recruitment, I skipped over that recruitment part. So we had the recruitment open for operators. That's going to be the drivers and also for the workers. As of last night, it closed down at midnight. We had 74 applicants that applied for the operator position. We have 74 applicants right now. HR is reviewing all the applications, making sure that everything was turned in as they were asked, you know, for on the recruitment. So they're going through all the applications, making sure all the paperwork was turned in. We do have 19 openings, so we'll see if that number drops from 74, see how much it drops. But we did have the 74 applicants for the
Are these all from
work.
within? Are
Excuse
they
me?
all with from within your?
I
No,
know.
actually, this went out citywide.
Okay, so anybody can do this.
Yes,
Okay.
yeah. One of the things that we did this go around is, I guess we were well, we were asking for too much, you know, when it came down to, yeah, I think we were just asking too much. So what we did is like, okay, let's drop it down a notch so that way, you know, people are eligible to apply for it. You know, we were asking for experience, you know, experienced drivers, but a lot of people didn't meet that experience. So that was automatically throwing them off of the recruitment. So what we did this recruitment, at least for the operator, is like, okay, let's drop that and let's see how many applicants we get. So we did get quite a bit. Like I said, 74. And I think that's the highest that I've ever seen is, you know, in a while. So we'll see how that goes. You know, once HR starts going over all the applications and making sure that all the paperwork and everything was turned in correctly, hopefully, you know, that number doesn't drop too much.
Good deal.
Yeah. And then we have for the workers, you know, we had that one closed. I think that one closed last week, if I'm correct. We have 35 applicants. They went through the process. HR went through the process. And only 11 made it through the they're going to be going on to the next step, which is going to be the interview.
And what position is this?
As a worker, it's a solid waste worker. And then for that one, we got six openings for that position, which includes it's either going to be at the landfill, collections, or container maintenance. I'm going to share now. Let me see if it's active. Are you guys able to see that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at the beginning of this year, you know, we were tasked to start working on some of these alleys. I know Pat was asking, well, he was talking about the letter that is being sent out there. So, you know, we created a dashboard, which we just got it up and running. It's not at 100%, but it's pretty close to showing what the numbers are. One of the, if you look down here, these are active work orders that are out there right now. These are active work orders of the work that needs to be done. I don't know if you guys can see that or not.
Yeah, I can see
Yeah.
Okay. And then from this is showing from 2021. So we went back to 2021 and grabbed all those work orders just to show, you know, what those numbers are, how many work orders, you know, or how many vegetation, how many cleanups we did in the alleyways. If you notice here in the middle, that was using our crews. You know, the crews were going out there. We had a either it was either one crew or we had two crews out there. But once we got the contractors, which is this year, you can see the numbers, you know, they jumped up because we're getting the contractors and they're going out there and they're assisting us and helping us clean up some of these alleys.
Good.
Let me see, let me go to the next. Hopefully this works. It wasn't working for me earlier. So let me pull this up here.
Can you make it a little bit bigger?
Let me see if I can or not. Don't know if you can you guys see that?
Yeah.
Oh, no, now it's going small. Okay, small.
I'll keep it there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
that's better.
there's a pretty cool function that's in here that so that way you guys can see the difference. So if you look at the legend here, anything that's in red, those are alleyways. If you those are unsafe alleys that, you know, last year, and I think we talked about this last year, we went out and the supervisors, everybody here. So we went out and we did a survey in all the alleys. So we drove down through every single alley. We were there to to let people know, or to let ourselves know, okay, which alleys need work on. You know, so anything that's in brown needs work. Those are alleys that needed work. That's why a lot of these people are getting some of these notifications. And then you got the red, which is unsafe. And then the blue are alleys that are safe, that they're good to go. We can drive down through there. There's no problem. There's no issues. And then there's a converted, which is all black. I don't know if you can see that here where my cursor's at. These are alleys that have been converted. Let me see. Hopefully this thing works. And like I said, we just got it. Let me see. Hold on just a.
Well, my neighbor's all brown.
Oh, is it? Well,
Yeah.
I don't know. Let me see.
You need some work, Fred.
There's nothing for me to do.
Hold on, one second.
The thing that's
I'm just learning how to navigate through this.
The thing that's confusing to me is that so much of it's brown, but over here at current, it says safe is 50%, and that's surely not 50% that's blue.
Yeah, now if you see this cursor, if you see on the right-hand side where the cursor is at over here,
Yeah.
you'll
Okay.
see that a lot of that stuff has turned blue because of all the work that's been done out there.
Ah,
Yeah,
okay.
let me see if it'll work this way.
Oh, that's so cool. That was at the
Okay.
beginning.
Let's
That's the
see.
beginning.
Okay.
Yes, that's the beginning.
And
And
then
then,
when
you know,
you.
as this year was progressing, then
Oh, that's current.
Okay, got it.
We got it.
Okay.
Yeah, so one of the things that we're
The
doing right now, we have the two contractors that are working on they're working on the far east side. This is mainly where all of our alleys are at. So what we're doing is they're starting to work in this area, and then we have the city and Tucson crews working on the west side. So basically they almost took care of everything that's on the west side. And what we're doing is we're doing a sandwich, you know, where the contractors are on the east side. And then we got our city crews that are on the west side. So basically they're working towards the middle, and hopefully, you know, we have it all sandwiched out by the end of the year.
That right there in the middle, right? That's where I live.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, where it's all brown.
Oh, okay, this part.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, we're getting there slowly but surely, but we're getting there. But that's one of the alleys that's, you know, that's been identified that needs work. So one of the good cool things about this the dashboard that we have, which I don't want to mess with it too much, but let me see if it shows.
That's a cool device.
Let me see if I can see if it shows me. No legend. Like the dispatch group. I can't see the other. Let me see maintenance track. Maybe on this one. Yeah, this one showed is not even working properly right now. But what it was showing here, it gives us. Let me see this one. Yeah, the ledge is not working. So right now, you know, if you notice that they have the yellow, green, and then the pink. So we got Nicholas tree removal on the Rico landscape in the city of Tucson. In this map here, we were able to see what's been assigned to Rico landscape or Nicholas tree removal. It was showing on the map, but I'm not sure why it's not showing right now. Like I said, we just got it done last week. There's a couple of things that we have to readjust and you know to the dashboard, and hopefully get it up and running here pretty soon. But everything's working out fine. And this through here, this is what we're assigning to Nicholas and Rico. We're assigning the what alleys need to be worked on. They got their own tablets and they're going over there. They're taking pictures. They're you know, before and after pictures. We get to see all the work that they're doing back there.
When you say that the work needs to be done, are you just referring to trees or the condition of the alley itself?
Actually, it's going to be more on the vegetation. It's going to be more on the vegetation. You know, if there's we're just going to say a gas meter that's, you know, covered up by a tree or something. You know, we'll trim the tree, and or there's vegetation around that gas meter. We'll make sure we trim around that gas meter, so that way, you know, the driver has a visibility. He's able to see the that gas meter.
The only thing that I could see, because they've already been through our alley and they cut back my neighbor behind me, they cut back all his trees. But the one thing that I've always thought was a major concern was the road itself, because I'm on a hill, and as you get further east of my house, it drops down into a cul-de-sac, and so that could I can see where that could be kind of tricky, because it's a downhill slope. And then you have to make a turn to the left to get out of there. That, to me, that would be the tricky part. But there's trees or anything in that I could see that would cause concern, other than the fact that the road itself, it's you know, you're on a downgrade, and you might have trouble making that, you know, just slowing down and eroding the road even worse than what it is already.
Yeah, you know, eventually, you know, The driver will let us know. He'll report that, and he'll let us know if he sees that, you know, if there's, you know, if it's been raining and it's washing out, they'll let us know. Usually we try to get a hold of DTM so they can go out there and scrape it. And if they can't do that, that's giving us let's get out of this alley before it gets too dangerous in here.
Yeah.
So eventually, maybe down the future, it might happen.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about rain though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that it, Jose?
That's it.
That was a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We need to wrap it up. And let's. How fast can you do the MRF, Christina?
I think I can do it pretty quickly.
Okay.
Let me see if I can share my screen. There we go. So it looks like our tonnages were up a little bit. Prices, though, were down. But you know, it's always going to go up and down. We could see that the ACR decreased. So, you know, that's just indicative of all prices having come down. The audit that was supposed to happen did not. We were going to do it this month, and then you know, there were some issues. Ernesto is usually the person who coordinates that, and he had some issues with his health. So we're actually putting it off again. We'll do it in November, but we've still agreed to the lower rate that we had gotten originally. So we're still at that 19.6% contamination.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, hard to know what our true number is, but we're definitely, you know, staying at a very reasonable rate, best we've had in quite some time. So our residue charges have been very minimal. But nothing out of the ordinary. So we did find out that we have a new general manager at the recycling facility. So that person's only been in place for now for think like a month, maybe.
Who changed, Christine?
Danya left.
Oh, she did. Okay.
And Robert Abraham is now the general manager of the
Oh, good for
operations
him.
at the MRF.
He's a good guy.
Yes, I think so. So far, he's been very helpful and responsive. So,
Yes.
looking
There you
forward to
go.
it.
That sounds like him.
So, that's the MRF report. Any
So,
questions?
what's interesting to me is that the price per ton dropped, but the amount of money actually collected went up about $9,000, and the tonnage went up, 2,000, no, 200 tons, I guess. So it's kind of interesting how that works out.
And probably that's because of the tonnages going up. So,
It looks like cardboard dropped by $5 a ton there, give or take.
Yeah, cardboard took a big jump.
That's
Yeah.
interesting.
That's kind of a normal swing. I think a big jump would be like $25 a ton, up or down.
And the aluminum dropped $120. And the other big jump was PET bottles from 420 to 340, so almost $100, $80 down. That seems, again, those numbers seem to me artificial as Las Vegas is trying to figure out their financial plan.
Okay.
All right.
So moving on, can we just get a quick update, item eight, on the public outreach?
Sure. So we have reached out to all of the neighborhood associations and asked them if we can be put on the agenda at an upcoming meeting, and a lot of them have gotten back to us. So we started doing that about 2 weeks ago. We're mostly doing like a 15 to 20 minute presentation, just presenting some updates, letting people know just, kind of all the services that we provide for their monthly fees, all the things that have been added within that monthly fee, letting them know about the upcoming changes with Fresh and Bulky being moved out to the curb. And I think, everybody's been very happy to hear about the things that we're doing, and just getting really positive feedback. We always take the operators who provide service in the area with us, and they've been just kind of letting residents know these are the things you all can do to help us provide better service, like keeping your cans, at least 3 feet apart from each other and from mailboxes, and not blocking containers, and
Freeze.
just all the things that we ask, but we continue to see that cause problems for the drivers. So, and the residents like seeing them and are always very complimentary of them. So it's been good. The next thing is we started the next session of Master Recycler. We had 14 people last night, but we knew that one person was not well. One person had told us they weren't going to be able to make the first meeting, so we think we're going to have a total of 16 participants this time. For the next 4 weeks, we'll be having those meetings, those sessions. And then we are finalizing a grant application to the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality for a waste reduction assistance grant. We're requesting $230,000 so we can implement a pilot program to do organics collection at the curb. So that would be green waste and food scraps. So we'll see. It's due next Tuesday. And just trying to finalize that. And hopefully we'll get it. We can
Good.
do the pilot.
That's exciting. Any questions?
Are the back to schools all done, finished?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I noticed from the material sent out that you've got the zero waste scheduled in November, I think it is.
November 15th.
15th. And you put Himmel Park. So is it moving away from the church to the park, or you're just using that as a placeholder?
It's not going to be at Himmel Park. It's going to be at the church parking lot,
Okay.
like we always do.
All right. I just was wondered.
And you're coming to my neighborhood in another week or two, right? The 3 weeks,
Yes,
four
next
weeks?
week.
Okay. Next week. Okay.
And I'm going to do that one. We're taking turns. Pat does some. I'm doing some. Chris and Lisa, Brittany will do some. So yeah, we're all pitching in. But I'm doing your neighborhood because I know everybody and they don't live too far away.
Makes it convenient for everybody.
Nice. Good.
Hey, thanks. I'm gonna that's it, right, Christina?
Yes.
Okay, let's hurry up. I see that we have Circular Arizona Symposium on the future agenda item. Anything else?
I was going to ask Jose, I guess he's still there. I noticed in my neighborhood that on Monday, which was a holiday, but which was still being collected, that about half the people forgot to put out. I mean, about half of us put out to be collected on Monday, and then the other half put out to be collected on Tuesday. And much to their surprise, Tuesday night, everything was still sitting there. What kind of was that a big problem citywide, or is it just my neighborhood that's clueless?
No, it was
Oh,
citywide. Yeah, it
I
was.
was clueless. Our
Oh.
service is today, and I was like, it's normally Wednesday. It could be tomorrow, but it'll probably be Friday. Well, I'll just put it out today, and we'll see what happens, right?
Yeah. We at the
And
beginning.
I don't have the city, so I wasn't going after you on that, Jose, but it
Yeah,
was
no,
somebody else.
it's all
Sorry.
good. Yeah, it's been happening every holiday, and I think once again, we go back to reading the flyers. At the beginning of the year, we did send out the flyers. We were only going to be observing, the three holidays, which, is going to be Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. But you're not the only one, Margo. I mean, it's happening all over Tucson. We are getting a lot of calls. So if people did not get service, what happens is that we're going to get, people are calling in. We get a work order. And if we go out there and if we see more than just one container out there, we'll service the whole street or the whole block, but we are going out there, especially when the people are calling in, but we are going back out there.
Yeah, it was also in the newspaper, so but not very many people read the newspaper, but I was just curious. It's interesting, just a little aside. It really changes the feel of a holiday. Somehow having the trash picked up on a holiday makes it seem less like a holiday. And I'm not
Yes.
sure the drivers thought about that. It's kind of one of those unintended consequences when they voted to go ahead and work on those days. But I do think our city as a whole suffers because they've done that. So
Yeah, and it
somebody's
does that. We
opinion.
see it. Yeah, and we see it, and even if we're off, it's we still get those, even if we're off the holiday. We still get that where it happens that half of the people are bringing out their, their containers, and the other half is not. So it continues, but we do go back. If you do call back, like I said, we'll get the work order, and we got if it's not picked up, you know, during the week on Saturday, we make sure that we clean out all of our, you know, we bring six, seven drivers sometimes to just to get all everything picked up so that way nobody is everybody gets service out there.
In the week, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to get recycle coach.
Yeah. Yep.
That would solve problems. It helps me, so
Yeah.
yeah. Okay. Hey, well, look, let's go ahead and skip the call to audience and go to 12 adjournment, because I think you guys probably want to start thinking about dinners. Going home.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So, see you next week, huh?
Yes.
Thanks, Jose. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank you, everybody.
yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Thanks,
Pat.
everybody.
Brittany.
All right. See
Bye.
y'all.
See you,
Bye-bye.
Christine.
Bye, everyone.